Good evening, this is Football Heaven on BBC Radio Sheffield, and tonight we're live at Hallam FC. I'm going to be joined by two legends of Sheffield football in a bit. The former Sheffield Wednesday winger Chris Waddle is here, and so is the former Sheffield United striker Keith Edwards as well. We'll speak to the fellas in a moment. We are also going to focus on the fact that we are here at the second oldest football club in the world, and Ryan Hindley is the manager at Hallam FC. And Ryan, it's shaping up to be a good night here at Hallam FC, isn't it?
Yeah, really is. And it just shows what this club means to people, hopefully, in Sheffield. It's certainly at my heart and stuff, and like I said, it's a wonderful place to be. It's a wonderful club, and hopefully we can not only get good people here tonight, but we can start hopefully getting a few more people through the gates on Saturdays and Tuesdays.
Now, you've done one of these events before, haven't you, with Chris Waddle, and Keith joined in to give the red side of the city a representation tonight. They're always popular, aren't they? Because people like Chris Waddle and Keith Edwards have always got something interesting to say, haven't they?
They're in folklore, yeah. My dad's just been saying Keith's one of his idols, so that's really nice. Obviously, I've known Chris a long time and know what people think about him in Sheffield, preferably the blue side, not necessarily the red side. But yeah, it's good to get these sort of people. And like I said, his football's at the heart of most people in South Yorkshire and Sheffield. And like I said, it's the home of football, as you always describe it, you and the guys, is that, you know, without Hallam and without, you know, Sheffield Club, there is no football. So, well, like I said, you know, hopefully we can continue these sorts of events and long may they continue.
Let's talk a bit about the club specifically and the situation you're in at the moment. How are you doing in the league? Where is the team at right now?
Well, when I took over, I think the club they'd played 12, lost 12. So it was kind of a win-win situation for me. So now I think I've had 11 games in charge. We've won 5, we've lost 4, and we've drawn 1. So things are looking good. I'd like to think the worm's turned, because like I said, is when I took over, the club was on no points. We've had a lot of, should we say, players come in. I think we've got 14, 15 new bodies in, because the playing staff that was here before, you know, like I said, had played 12, lost 12, so we knew we needed to turn things round. And in the six to eight weeks that I've been here now, is we've really turned it round, and things are looking positive. We had a fantastic win on Tuesday, 5-0 away from home. We've got bottom of the league tomorrow, Grimsby away. We beat here 7-2, so hopefully we can continue and get on a bit of a run and start looking at the table. We've come out the bottom two, which is a massive plus, and hopefully, you know, with a win tomorrow and keep that consistency, because that's what it's about at this level. It's about consistency, hard work and consistency. If we can keep that up, I can hopefully have me turkey and me eggnog at Christmas, looking at the table, thinking, you know, the world's a bit of a better place. But yeah, it's been, to be honest, Rob, it's been like a full-time job for me. Getting the club to where it wants to be. I'm happy with the playing squad now, really happy with things, really happy with the club. It's a fantastic club, and like I said, it's hopefully, you know, it'll get back up the league and where it wants to be, and fingers crossed, sooner rather than later.
Speaking to Ryan Hindley, he's the manager at Hallam FC, which is where we're at tonight. Let me just paint a picture of the room that we're surrounded by at the moment. Keith Edwards has bumped into a couple of members of his fan club already, and he's signing a few autographs. Keith, Chris Waddle has actually been interviewed, Ryan, by a couple of journalists from France today. L'Équipe here as well, aren't they?
Yeah, it's from what I hear, it's a very large French magazine. I think it's the most popular magazine in France, a little bit, I think, like 442 that we have here. And I took him around the ground, and they were agreeing with me that it's a fantastic club, it's a fantastic venue, and it's steeped in history and tradition. And when you start looking at the photos that are from 1912, and you start thinking, well, that's over 100 years old, and it can be a little bit eerie at times when you're on your own. I've now got some keys for the ground, and it's a little bit, if you come on your own, not only is it cold, because it snows in summer up here, but yeah, it's a little bit eerie, and you've got that feeling, you know. I know it sounds crazy, but yeah, I'd like ghost hunters to come up here and see if there's people about, because there's so many players that have come through these doors, and like you said, it's the oldest football ground in the world, and I'm sure that, yeah, there's a few stories that could be told. But yeah, they've really enjoyed it. They've been around the changing rooms and looked at all the history of the club and stuff, and I think they're hoping tomorrow to go and see the Eudon Trophy at Sheffield United. So yeah, really, really interesting and really nice to talk to.
Do we give enough attention, I'm not just talking about Sheffield in particular here, other parts of England too, do we give enough credit and attention to Sheffield FC and Hallam FC? Now, Dortmund come over and they're very interested in Sheffield FC. We've got journalists from France,
yep,
coming to see Chris Waddle and writing stories about this club. Do we respect the history and the tradition of football that is rooted right at the heart of South Yorkshire?
I'm so glad you've asked that question, Rob, because I've been thinking about this for a long time. And I tweeted you guys the other day that no, there's not enough recognition. Listen, football's gone from being a working class game now. People can't always afford £25, £35, £45 at some games to go and watch Sheffield United, Sheffield Wednesday. And I just think we should have a little bit, not necessarily a non-league show, but I think we should at least dedicate you guys in the studio, because Sheffield Star does it really well with the grassroots and stuff. I'm sure you look through that. It's a fantastic paper and it's really good. And I was speaking to Paul Webster, who runs part of the grassroots, and he was saying that he always noticed that when Sunday League games were called off, there was a dip in paper, the actual purchasing of the paper. So it shows how many people are really interested in grassroots football. And from my perspective, I'd love you guys at Radio Sheffield, and I think the general consensus in and around Sheffield, speaking with other local managers, would be nice to know that if people aren't going to Sheffield Wednesday or Sheffield United or Barnsley, Doncaster Rovers, whoever it may be, that there is another place to come. And I think it'd be good to sit down with you guys and say, right, these are the average crowds now, and then going into the new year, if you guys can dedicate maybe a couple of minutes on a Friday, a couple of minutes on a Monday or whatever it is, to give it an insight to the week, and maybe the odd interview here with a manager or a player or someone that's having success within a club, it would really raise the profile of it. I remember being a kid with Brian Bradley and driving back from Sheffield United games and listening to how Hallam had gone on and the scorers and everything else, and it was really, really interesting. I was a young boy then and it was interesting, and I think we could get that again, because, you know, we're very fortunate. This is the home of football with Sheffield. You know, we've got United, we've got Wednesday, we've got Hallam, we've got Stocksbridge Park Steels, we've got Sheffield Club. Do we do enough for those local clubs? Personally, from a radio perspective, I don't think we do.
Okay, well, leave it with me.
Please,
well,
Rob.
I'll put a little note down there. That's me told, anyway. Yeah, non-league show on Football Heaven. We'll sort something out. On a broader scale, though, I was speaking to Nick Cox from Sheffield United today, and he was telling me about how useful a club like this is for Sheffield United. Louis Reed was here. He didn't play an awful lot, did he? But the life experience that he got from being here, you've just signed another Sheffield United youngster to come and spend a bit of time here on a work experience basis.
He's come up tonight as Jake. I'm sat looking at him now.
We're going to speak to him a little bit later on as well. But how useful can a club like this be, not just for United? I know that Sheffield Wednesday have spent time here as well looking at the facility. How useful can you be in helping these young players have a career?
Well, when I was a young player, I came here from Sheffield Wednesday for a month and didn't do me any harm. And I think it's par for the courses. Listen, it's going to go two ways for the young lads. They're either going to come, grasp it and realise what men's football's about, and realise that, no disrespect to Hallam or any other non-league club, if you're at Sheffield Wednesday or Sheffield United, you're a very lucky boy. And there's no doubt you're extremely talented. So this is the other side of the coin. So either you knuckle down and work hard and you get to where you need to be, or, no disrespect again, you finish up at a Hallam or a Sheffield club or a Stocksbridge, and this shows them the other side of the coin, and this shows, you know, that training on a cold Thursday night and travelling away, not on a coach, you know, not with a chef, you're travelling in cars, and that's the harsh reality of non-league football. You know, don't get me wrong, some clubs have it better than we do, but I think it can be a fantastic experience for the guys, and, you know, I've been at clubs where good young players have come through and gone on to do really, really, really well.
Ryan, appreciate your time tonight. That's Ryan Hindley, who's the manager here at Hallam FC, and we'll definitely work on getting some more football into Football Heaven. Definitely do that. And it's a great evening tonight. We're on the road with Football Heaven on BBC Radio Sheffield. We are with Hallam, and in a few moments we're going to be speaking to Keith Edwards and to Chris Wadden.
Travel update. BBC Radio Sheffield.
Let's get the latest now at 6 p.m. with Greg Edwards.
Well, traffic heading out of Sheffield remains quite slow on Penistone Road this evening, but gradually improving now. Still quite busy on Upper Hanover Street and on the parkway on the inbound side towards Park Square, but just a short queue there. Traffic on the motorways is coping well. Busy on the M1 on the northbound side, still around Junction 32 at Thurcroft. And in Chesterfield, it remains busy on Derby Road at Hornsbridge Island. If you spot anything else, call in on the Jam Dodger line on 0114 256 1212.
Check the latest travel news online 24 hours a day. bbc.co.uk/Sheffield.
So So coming up in a few moments on BBC Radio Sheffield, the moment you've been waiting for, Chris Waddle and Keith Edwards will be joining us live on the show. If you've got a question for either, feel free to get in touch, 011-427-9669, or you can send me a tweet as well to @footballheaven. We're going to speak to the fellas in just a moment after we've heard from the Sheffield United manager Nigel Clough. He says tomorrow's FA Cup tie against Plymouth at Bramall Lane takes on extra significance after recent poor results at home, and Clough says forced changes to his squad are a good thing.
We've got a few lads unavailable. Cup tied, Che Adams, and then we've got Chris O'Grady, who's injured, but we haven't got permission to play him anyway, and Paddy McCarthy, no permission, so we lose those out of the squad from the other night.
Do those forced changes lead you to have an opportunity to maybe blood some others?
Yeah, it'll be somebody, a few will be getting an opportunity on Saturday, without doubt. So we've got Flo Cavalier back in the squad as well, which is good news for us and for him. He's been out a long time, 9-10 months now, a bit more with his knee. So he's played a few under-21 games, so it's nice to have him back involved.
What's your attitude going into a cup game? The cliche is that maybe the pressure's off from anything going on in the league. Is that the case, or is this as deadly serious as any other match?
I think it's deadly serious. I think the last few results at home have meant it's taken on added significance now. We might probably work out we might be even a little bit edgier and nervous than normal. I hope not, but when you haven't won at home for a few games, then it's inevitable that creeps in.
Do you feel it's about time? Do you feel you're not getting your just desserts when it comes to performances being equating into wins, into points?
Definitely. I think we've played better, certainly in spells of our games. The two we've lost, Barnsley and MK Dons, were probably two of our best performances in the last couple of months. And then you end up losing the game. So we said the other night, it doesn't always go hand in hand, results and performances.
It's Nigel Clough on BBC Radio Sheffield speaking ahead of that game in the FA Cup tomorrow against Plymouth. Keith Edwards and Chris Waddle with me. Keith, first of all, how much do you want Sheffield United to win, preferably, not get a draw tomorrow? I don't know if you fancy that trip to Plymouth on a Tuesday night.
If I'm being honest, no. But overall, they ought to win. I don't think they're playing too bad. It's a little bit worrying the home form of late. But overall, yeah, I think that we're obviously going to be firm favourites. And as you say, I don't fancy a trip down to Plymouth in midweek. I've got enough on.
Absolutely. Look, fellas, you're going to get a bit of a grilling later with a Q&A. And I'm sure that the people here tonight are going to ask you more difficult questions than I'm going to ask you. But it is going to be an interesting night. Chris, you've got a lot of connections with this club, haven't you? Why in particular have you got involved so much with Hallam FC?
Just basically, I like obviously non-league football. You know, I went to Worksop when I packed up and played there a few years, and then I went down to other teams. Then obviously I got involved in Sunday mornings playing. So I've always liked that type of football. And there's a few lads who are on the committee here. I've been up and I used to come and watch games here, whether it be here at Sheffield Club. And I've always enjoyed the non-league scene. And as I say, there's a couple lads on the committee here now. So then we went about starting a team on a Sunday. A lot of lads who I play football with wanted to play more. So I said, the only way we can do it is start a Sunday team. And Hallam said, why don't you call yourselves Hallam FC Sunday team? They've never had a Sunday team before. All the years have been going. And so we took that on board. And we're in my first season now and we're enjoying it.
I just wonder, how have two guys, and Keith, I'll bring this to you first, how have two guys from the North East become so associated with Sheffield football, apart from the fact that you did so well on the pitch? What is it about this part of the world that you sort of fell in love with?
Well, first of all, majority of better players come from the North East.
Is that right, Keith?
Okay. So, me personally, I love Sheffield. I mean, my family's here. I like Sheffield. 1975, I come. I mean, that's a long time. I class Sheffield as my home now. I just thoroughly enjoy it. Just going back to what Chris was saying earlier on there, I really, really do tip my hat off to you for still enjoying playing football and wanting to get involved and whatever. I mean, as much when I finished my career, I always had the same intentions, but unfortunately, injuries and what have you have prevented that. But I really do tip my hat off to that. And back to the North East thing, well, as I said, there's a lot of good footballers come from the North East.
Because you've stayed in this part of the world, haven't you, Chris?
Yeah, I came 92 from Marseille, and my daughter was 4. I had my laddie in 93, so I was born in Sheffield, born and bred. And this was home to them. And I've got to say, I'm a bit like Keith. I fell in love with the place. And, you know, I even... We've still got family back home. Well, my missus had, mine basically are fading away, and I like to go home, don't get us wrong, but a weekend's long enough in a way, and this is where I enjoy it. And I know I'm lucky, I live in a nice village, I've got some good friends, and I can't see us ever leaving Sheffield, to be perfectly honest.
Now, I was speaking to a couple of Sheffield United fans before we went on air, and they put on that big screen behind us, Chris, highlights of the 93 FA Cup semi-final. I just wonder, how many times do you get asked about that goal at Wembley?
A lot, obviously, in Sheffield. I always get... normally it's a statement of you broke my heart.
There was one or two saying that before.
Yeah, listen, but Keith will tell you, you're doing your job, you're getting paid by your football club you play for, you want to win, obviously that's your side of the game which you love. What an occasion it was, to be honest. I mean, people say you'll never see that again, and at the minute you wouldn't think ever seen that again, and maybe it's a Johnson Paints or something, but you'll not see that again in an FA Cup semi. I don't think you will anyway. I don't think I'll see it. What an occasion for the city. It was a wonderful day. Obviously it was much better because we got the result, but I'll always remember that. It's something which you know, I always get taught. People always mention every day in my life in Sheffield I've got that question.
We may not get another All Sheffield semi, Keith, but we were that close to an All Sheffield quarter final last year for a place at Wembley, weren't we?
Yeah, that's true. And I was just going to say, you never know. I never thought I would be commentating on a game, Sheffield United versus Hull City, taking into account Hull City have jumped into the Premiership. So you never know. I think if both teams keep making progress, and I think it's slow progress, but we are making progress, and I do like the people that are in charge at the moment.
I mentioned to Ryan Hindley, Keith, who's the manager here, that Sheffield United have used this club to try and give some of their younger players some experience, and Louis Reed was one of the players who spent time here last year. He didn't play an awful lot of football, but Nick was saying it was the social side of things that sort of made him grow up as a man so that he was ready for first team football. Do you like that idea as a modern day footballer coming here as a 16, 17 year old, getting that experience, and how much it prepares them for league football?
I think as long as he keeps healthy, I don't see any negative whatsoever. It's always, when you're that age, you just want to play football. Now, if you have to drop down a level to progress, then so be it. That's what happens. You know, going back to my day, sometimes you didn't make it. Well, it would be awfully easy just to stop playing, so you have to keep going. If you really want it and the cream comes to the top, then eventually you get there. And it is good experience. It's a win-win both sides, for Hallam and for other like Hallam, and for the player itself, the younger players at Sheffield United.
I think I'd like to see it a bit more. I've got to say, the under-21 league, if you go and watch these games, and no disrespect to the fixtures when you watch them, they're testimonials, the friendlies. There's no contact. There's nothing. There might be a player who's come back from injury. There might be a young player who's bursting their gut. The majority are just basically thinking, you know, do we really want to be playing in this game? When you're playing stuff like this, and I'm on about a bit higher as well, because listen, if you're an under-21 player, you want to be playing minimum a Conference, Conference North, Conference South, if you're going to get experience at that level. But if they're 16, 17, and you send them out here, listen, they'll know what they're on about on a Saturday. This is very competitive, and it's a tackle means a tackle, a win means a win. I think some of the leagues have come off that in the professional game. I watch games and honestly, there's no contact. And everybody's worried about people. Don't do that, you'll get injured. Don't do this. And you think, no, it's part and parcel of the game, mate. You learn how to raid tackles. Keith's probably been kicked everywhere. I've been kicked everywhere, mate. But you learn how to raid the tackles. You know exactly, you get streetwise. And I don't think our players are streetwise anymore.
Are players these days of a certain age mollycoddled?
Yes.
A little bit?
Massive. Absolutely massive.
And that is what coming here might...
Listen, you can have three good games, four good games, you'll get a five-year contract. He's gone from a smart car to a Mercedes-Benz in a week. Not good enough. Go and prove yourself. You're judged over your career, you're judged over your years. Not one good year or five good games, you're judged over 5-6 years where you say, you know what, he's been good every year since his, and he's been there 5-6 years, or he's moved clubs, but he's been playing at that level for 10 years or 7 years. Not 3 good weeks or 3 good games. It's unbelievable now. We pick up on players who just say, he's just got a 5-year contract on potential. And then they get it and they throw it all away. And they wonder why.
Keith, if you were a footballer who was starting his career now in this day and age, how would you feel about it? Would you sort of enjoy some of that aspect of a modern day young footballer who is mollycoddled a little bit, who isn't forced to go and clean the boots and do all those things? Or do you think that you would be appreciative of an opportunity to come and play in a place like this to get your grounding as a youngster?
Well, I think it's all on the individual. I think you just adapt to the times that you're in. When I was a young man, I got into the game late. I think Chrissy did as well. I was so thrilled just to get into the game. If you start talking about, I had to clean Alan Woodward's boots. Well, that was an absolute pleasure. After a while, I thought maybe I can get in the first team here. Put these boots away, let him clean his own, or let somebody else do it. But no, you just adapt to the occasion. But I'm a little bit old-fashioned, and I like old-fashioned values. And I think they have it a little bit too easy today. But that's not their fault. It's just how it is today. And I agree with what Chrissy was saying. They are looked after a little bit too well, and they are overpaid. But on occasions, there's some people come through and produce it. I mean, when we talk about youngsters, Sheffield United continually to bring them through, they've got a great record for that. And so they must be doing something right at the academy, because they are bringing them through. And that's always, for me, a progressive club.
It's Football Heaven on BBC Radio Sheffield. We're with Chris Waddle and with Keith Edwards. We are live at Hallam FC tonight. We're going to talk a bit about Wednesday and United in particular in a few moments. But just on tonight, and if people want to come down, there's still tickets available. There is a Q&A, which I believe starts at 7:30 tonight. You can speak to the fellas there and ask your questions too. You can do it tonight as well, while we've got them for a few minutes longer. 0114 279 6699. But do you enjoy doing things like this, Chris? You know, coming out, meeting the punters, telling a few stories as well, because you must have a few.
Yeah, listen, I've never been a massive fan of them. I've been offered a lot over the years. I do probably 5, 6, 7 a year, if that. I know people make it as a living, basically, now, going week to week, and end of football seasons, they're booked 7 days a week. I like telling the stories, I'll admit I do at times, but I couldn't do it every night. But anything where you can try and help teams fundraising at this level, or you know, around this level, then I don't mind helping out. But I don't mind it. Once you get into it, it's a good night, and you go home, you think, I enjoyed that.
And Keith, we know that you've got a story or two, because they're all in your book at the moment, aren't they?
Yeah, is this a plug the book?
Yeah, I wasn't a plug at all. I was just bringing that. I was just bringing up.
Obviously, brought a few along, but that's something that I've done with Andy Pack, who's ex media manager of Sheffield United, and I've thoroughly enjoyed it. It's something I can recommend. It's been great fun, and it's there, and it's doing ever so well. And I'm very, very grateful to the people out there who've paid for it. And I have had a good response from one or two different stories, so that's nice.
And if you want to hear a few more, Sheffield Hallam FC tonight as well. We'll speak more with the fellas in a moment on BBC Radio Sheffield, but at 6:28, let's get the latest on the roads.
Travel update, BBC Radio Sheffield.
And here's Greg Edwards with the latest.
Traffic's gradually easing off this evening around at Sheffield City Centre. Quite busy on Penistone Road, still on the outbound side, but otherwise things are moving well. Traffic's fine around Chesterfield this evening, and if you're out on the motorways, the M1 and the M18 both fine, along with the A1M as well. If you do spot any other traffic problems, do please call in on the Jam Dodger line on 0114 256 1212.
BBC Radio Sheffield.
Football Heaven on BBC Radio Sheffield. Rob Staton at Hallam FC with Keith Edwards and with Chris Waddle. Right, we've got to talk about Wednesday and United with you both being here. Keith, we'll start with you. We were both at Bramall Lane on Tuesday night. Sheffield United beaten by the MK Dons. 2 points out of the last 12 available in the 4 home games that Sheffield United have had. Before all this, I remember talking to you before the Crewe game in the Cup, saying what a chance it was for United to get a load of momentum going before Christmas at home. It hasn't quite happened. What was your take on Tuesday night?
Well, I think the guys are playing well. I think the team effort is very good. I see a lot of improvement in the players themselves, and that's down to Nigel. Whether his system of playing is going to be good enough, well, the time will tell. Because stating the obvious now, which I've been banging this drum for a while, we're not scoring enough goals. Not only are we not scoring enough goals, we're not creating enough chances. To win games of football, you have to get the ball in the back of the net, and we're just not quite there. But you've got to understand that he's working with what he's got, and he's brought O'Grady in, who unfortunately got injured. He's playing a very similar system to what he had before, so something's got to work, something's got to click. They're aware of where it's needed. So overall, I think the players are playing well. They keep the ball great, and I think players are progressing, but we just need to be able to finish teams off. And as you've already highlighted, that's not really good enough. And invariably, promotion is won by a good home record.
Some of the fans have been calling in this week and saying, look, it's negative Nigel again. Jamie Murphy played so well up front on Friday night against Notts County. He's back out on the wing. It was one up top. What's your opinion on all of that?
My opinion is I can fully understand it, because I think whenever we've been down in a game, we seem to have changed our tactics and been an awful lot more positive. And it, for me, it's worked. You know, I can only base it, this is not having a dig, but I can only base on what I'm witnessing in front of me, and it's worked. And I thought Jamie Murphy was great up front. I've been mentioning that for quite a while. I think dare I say it, this with Chrissy Waddle at the side of me, I think wingers can be a little bit wasteful on occasions when the crosses are not being met. Now, you can argue that point. Is it a bad cross, or is there nobody on the end of it? You know, you've got to get players in the box to make the winger look good as well. I always used to say to Colin Morris, you wouldn't look half as good, you know, if I didn't knock it in. And it works both ways. So we're nearly there. But I think it would be nice to be a little bit more positive. I think it would be nice to have the two up front. I also think it would be nice to have a little bit of variation. I think we're a little bit predictable, and I think MK Dons, and especially Notts County, come, played to a game plan, knew where we were going, and stopped it.
How important is a win tomorrow just to get a bit of positivity back? However you get it done, just get a win against Plymouth in the Cup.
I don't think the negative. I think the belief in the system that they're doing, and there's a lot of players there. We just haven't got natural goal scorers and people who are creating goals. I think Baxter could be used to better effect, and yes, it's important to get a win, but I don't think them lads lack confidence.
So that's Keith Edwards on Sheffield United, Chris Waddle on Sheffield Wednesday. Wednesday needed a win, Chris. They'd gone 11 games without a win before last weekend. They beat Wigan. As you look at Sheffield Wednesday's placing in the Championship right now, how do you judge that sort of situation that Wednesday are in, having fought against relegation for the last 2 years, Wednesday in mid-table at the moment?
To be honest, I think Stuart Gray's done a fantastic job, I think, with the tools he's got. You look at that squad, and I'm not being harsh to it, but I always say, listen, if Wednesday stay in the Premier League, the Championship, every year, at the minute, I think they're doing well. They can't go out and spend silly money. We'd all love a great centre-forward. I think everybody would say that at Wednesday if they had somebody alongside Stevie May. Yes, and maybe a creative midfield player. McGogan is starting to show he can play a decent pass. Well, overall, the problem was always going to be, will they score enough goals? I think they're organised. I think he's got the best out of the players. You couldn't really say, teams who are playing Sheffield Wednesday, will be Blackburn tomorrow, they'll be thinking, well, these will be hard, dogged, hard to break down, good on the break. And I think he's made the best of what you can do with that team. And it comes to the next bit of, if you could get somebody in to play up front, or in two players in, a winger or a centre-forward, where would it take them? Would it take them on the fringe? Because the league's very open. Teams concede a lot of goals in the Championship. Wednesday are very good defensively, but I just think going forward, if they just had that little bit more, we know we've been talking about the relegation, but you'd be just saying, you know what, there's an outside chance of the playoffs.
How much of an assessment is it of English football these days that Stuart Gray, before that Wigan game, was admitting to us, I'm under pressure. I don't fear for my job, but it is on the line. And there was talk within football that the pressure was starting to grow. I mean, that is quite harsh given where he took over the club a year ago.
It's ridiculous, I think, I've got to say. I think expectations in every club, right? Whether you're bottom of the league, whoever's the bottom of the league at the minute, Tranmere, Hartlepool, wherever you are, Sheffield United, whatever, the pressure is ridiculous because everybody wants to win, everybody wants to be promoted, everybody thinks they should be in a higher league, everybody thinks they should be in the playoffs at minimum, and it doesn't work like that. Listen, you know, at the start of the season, there's only a few teams going to have success, right? And I think you've got to look at how much you've got. Now, if you've got a bigger budget than the majority or the best budget, you should be doing better. If you've got an average budget, I think that should be a judgment. And I think I hear it all the time on these phone-ins and everything where people ring up and say, boring, negative, this, that. Hey, listen, you'd all love a centre-forward. So the next team. you know, who's top of the league in Sheffield United's league, isn't that? But it's
Bristol City.
Yeah, look at the money they've sent. And I bet their wage bill's fantastic. He's signed 13 players in the summer. How many teams have done that? Give him credit, he's organised them and they've got quality. But that's what he pays to get out of the league. Now, that's what it's on about. Now, if you pay that a little bit more, whether it's a Championship, whether it's Division 1, Division 2, you'll get out of the league.
Now, Sheffield Wednesday were close to a takeover in the summer, weren't they? And getting the kind of investment that maybe would have been able to take them over the top. I'm going to put you on the spot a little bit, Chris. There was a lot of talk in the summer that you were going to have a role with the group that were coming in. Was there any truth to that?
I just had a couple of calls. I never got to meet them. I was away at the World Cup in Brazil. I got a few messages and I just said, look, contact us when I get home if it's going to happen. It's nothing to do with managers' jobs or anything like that. They wanted to speak. There was obviously there was a connection with the French. Maybe through Bernard Tapia, was my ex-chairman at Marseille. And that's where it came from, I think. So I didn't meet them. Obviously, things went pear-shaped. So it never happened.
Given that you are so heavily involved in football, is a role at Wednesday, whatever it is one day, still something that you'd love to do?
Listen, I'd help Sheffield Wednesday out any day because, you know, I've got a great love for the club. I had 4 years there and I loved it. I still live in the area. I go down to Wednesday when I'm not working, when I can, if I'm not here or somewhere else. I still love going down to Sheffield Wednesday. It's a massive part of my life. If somebody asked us to do a certain job, then I would.
Keith, when we look at both Sheffield clubs, and we talked about it earlier, are we ever going to see anything like the 93 semi-final again? Do you believe that without the massive money, we could at least see Sheffield Wednesday and Sheffield United, even as progressive Championship clubs that aren't fighting against relegation, that are maybe pushing to get back in the Premier League and competing with each other? Because you look at other parts of the country, and it seems like Yorkshire in particular is due a run. Everywhere else in England seems to have had two or three teams that are either in the top flight or doing well. We're due a run, aren't we?
Well, we've been saying that for quite a while, but I take your point. I think it is about investment. Unfortunately, it's not just I mentioned earlier on that we've brought a lot of youngsters through. That is always good progress, but it is about investment, as Chris mentioned. It's not unusual for the likes of Bristol to be up there because they've invested heavily. Unfortunately, you have to buy your way a little bit today, and whether I agree with that or not, I'm not sure. But it's just part and parcel of the way football has gone. Once again, I'm back to what I said earlier on about you have to adapt to what's there today, and unfortunately, it's not just about kids coming through and picking cheaper players up. It's about buying a few, one or two stars, because in the top eight in our division, is they could all do with two more players, and that would just make the difference. And as Chris rightly points out, that you can only make, there's only so many teams going to have success.
And we've talked about tomorrow with Plymouth and Keith, Chris, Blackburn Rovers and Sheffield Wednesday. Blackburn are a team that have got players with links to Wednesday, Tommy Spur, Ben Marshall. They've also got Jordan Rhodes, and his dad is still working at Sheffield Wednesday. He can score goals, can't he? But the interesting thing that I noticed today when doing research for the game is, as much as people would put Jordan Rhodes as one of the top strikers in the division, only two more goals this year than Stevie May and Atty Nwuyiu, which says a lot, doesn't it?
Yeah, I think Blackburn are a powerful side. I think listen, they've spent heavily over the years, and they've still had enough in the coffer to get a good side together this year. Listen, they'll be thinking playoffs minimum. They should be in there with the squad they've got. Keste up front, I think, is a very good striker. Big, strong, great with the Championship. Can score goals as well. They're quite direct a little bit, Blackburn. They've got two big centre-halves, two big lads up front. They can mix it when they have to, and they'll be expecting to be there. I think they've lost 1-15 at home. So it's a tall order for Wednesday, but you know, if Wednesday defend like they can defend and catch them on the break, then they've always got a chance.
Got a couple of texts here that I want to throw your way. This is from Matt. He says, I'd like to thank Chris Waddle for skinning me, then doing it again just to make me fall over in a charity game for the Lee Marklew fundraising for cancer research. Do you remember that one, Chris?
Well, no, not really, but
it's happened a lot.
It's happened a few times, haven't you?
I'll tell you a story. When I was playing Sunders a few years ago for Brunsmere, then we played, and David Hurst was playing centre forward, and we played a team, and they had a young left back and I was playing right wing, and the centre half was quite experienced. I was shouting at the left back, don't buy a trick, I told you what he's going to do. He does the same trick all the time, he does this, he does that. Anyway, I kept doing the same thing. I went across it, went back on my right, went across it, came back on my right, went back on my left, and eventually It's a guy really sent off, kept shouting at the kid, I've told you, stop buying it. And then I had a bit of banter saying, well, you come out here. He didn't. Anyway, I says, and we're walking off at the end of the game. The kid, he just looked at us as he went. And I went, listen, mate, don't worry about it. I says, Maldini bought the same trick.
Hey, we've had a few messages on here tonight, Chris. A few of them. I won't read them all out. Just saying, Sheffield Wednesday need a good winger. This one's from Steve in particular. Could you ask Chris if he fancies coming back on a month's loan? He says he'll pay the wages.
Well, not be a lot, but I'll play for nothing.
There you go. And we've had another one here that's from Dean. He says, could you please ask Chris and Keith their opinion on this? Keith, we'll come to you first. Should the Premier League players that are on huge wages have money stopped and have it put back into grassroots football? After all, they've had the start at the bottom. Instead of reading about what new car they bought, the fans would like to see something for their hard-earned wages. So I think basically the suggestion there is, you know, it's quite top-heavy, the money in English football, isn't it? And is there something that could be done about that?
Well, it would always be nice to see things go back down to grassroots football. That needs promoting and funding. If it has to come from the players, then that would be a wonderful gesture, especially when they're not doing so well or if they're out. You know, you could maybe bring something into that, but it's up to the individual themselves. You're talking about them giving monies away. You know, maybe we should look at the bigger picture, and the grassroots football should be looked after anyway.
Chris, I'm going to ask you about this, which is a slightly different topic instead. I know that you've been very opinionated on English football in general, obviously with the failures we've had at all these major tournaments recently. And then the FA has put together this new proposal aimed at improving England's prospects at major tournaments called the England DNA Programme. Now, you're rolling your eyes. What do you make of it? Because this is the kind of thing that a lot of people have called for. They say that it's based on the models in Germany and Belgium. We've seen those two particular countries provide a lot of good, talented youngsters recently. What do you make of this?
Well, I believe it when I see it. We've been talking about this now since God knows when. I remember, 15, 20 years ago, we're going to talk about, we've got this in place, we're going to do this. We had a golden generation. Who were the golden generation, by the way? We've had this, we've had that. We've never, ever, ever produced anything on world level as a national team. And then they say, this is it. Listen, the Premier League rule English football. Simple as that. So if the Premier League say no, look at the fixtures you get. English teams don't get help. The national team don't get help. They play big fixtures on a weekend before an England game. They don't think, well, someone's Man United or whoever's the big team, the team's playing a littler team. No, they put a massive game up because they want it on the telly. In other countries, they support the teams. They want their team, their national team, to be the best team. We don't. We have a product called the Premier League, which goes around the world and it makes a fortune. And one about earlier saying, where does the money go? I'd love to see grassroots. People don't realise how much it is to put a team together to fund a pitch on a Sunday or insurances and everything what goes with it. It's all fundraising. Can we beg? Can we borrow? People don't realise. You know, the Premier League, you see them coming up, they've got 50 staff, 2 coach loads. Everything what goes with it. And it's a shame because, you know, all these boys' teams, in fact, when you look at it, they are looking at things to say, right, we've got under-8s, we've got up to under-18s. It costs them a fortune, the parents and everybody. They're not getting subsidised. The grass pitches are rubbish nowadays. There's no work on them. So everybody's going to 3G. There's not enough. So where's the money going? Because to me, it just looks like it stays at the top.
And one of the points you made, I mean, the Bundesliga and the German FA, I think it was after Euro 2000, decided that they were going to work together. And again, the Premier League and the FA...
But it's all based on the national team doing well.
Yeah.
The key is saying, right, the first thing you should look at is saying the national team has got to be a success. If the national team's a success, everything filters down, not a problem. We've got a successful Premier League, not a successful national team, because it doesn't happen. The Premier League rule what happens in this country.
Keith, I want to read you some of this. I don't know if you've seen the report, but this is basically what the FA is saying. I want to get your reactions to some of the language used by the FA here. The start point for the creation of a world-class approach of elite player development leading to winning England teams. 70% ball rolling time. I'm not sure what that means. The England way. The national teams in possession will aim to intelligently dominate by selecting the right moments to progress the play and penetrate the opposition. And one final quote, when they're without the ball, they will look intelligently and as early and as efficiently as possible, find position-specific profiles. And they're going to give kids, by the way, a wristband which will teach them exactly the ways of English national football moving forward. I mean, it'd be easy to just criticise it and laugh at it and say it all sounds great, but what's your reaction?
I'm guessing a man in who wrote that as a man in a suit.
Quite possibly.
So I'm not quite sure how to answer that. It's just fancy words. You've got to put it into action.
But they need a plan, don't they?
Yeah, you've got to have a plan to progress.
Listen, when we grew up, we didn't have cones, bibs. Listen, you spot the footballers, you let them play, and then you start giving them a little bit of advice. Listen, go back to basics. We're obsessed with coaching now. Coaching's killing the game. Two-touch football at seven-year-old, have a laugh. It's a joke.
It's there to be enjoyed,
fart.
And you just relax, and kids will, if they're enjoying the football and just and having a nice little run around and being allowed to just express themselves.
What does that mean? Then, you get a wristband, you're a good player. Brilliant.
I wish I
got that when we were swimming.
They've had 20 meetings to work out, you get a wristband. Brilliant.
If that's all it took, I wish they'd given me one when I was 12 years old. Anyway, fellas, thanks for now. That's Chris Waddle and Keith Edwards live tonight on BBC Radio Sheffield.
Travel update, BBC Radio Sheffield.
And at 6:46 is Greg Edwards.
Traffic this evening looking fine now around Sheffield city centre, all on the move quite nicely now. If you're heading out towards the M1 at Junction 33, traffic on the parkway also moving a lot more freely. Still quite busy in Meadowhall though. Sheffield Road on the inbound side coming from the M1 still looking quite heavy. The motorways though, the M1 and indeed the M18 all looking fine now this evening. So if you do spot any traffic problems, you're welcome to call us on the Jam Dodger line 0114 256 1212.
Check the latest travel news online 24 hours a day. bbc.co.uk/Sheffield.
We're live at Hallam FC on BBC Radio Sheffield. Rob Staton with you for Football Heaven. We're going to let the fellas get ready for their Q&A in a few moments. So one last question for both. It's packing out nicely tonight. I think they're expecting about 60 people plus here. And just a reminder, if people want to come down and get involved, there may well still be a few tickets available at Hallam FC. How much are you looking forward to this then, Keith? Have you got your best repertoire ready?
I don't give it too much thought. I'll just take it on the chin. I have to say, it's a long time since I've been up here. And this is like, for me, a new clubhouse, and it looks absolutely great. The facilities are wonderful. I played up in here with Quinny's All-Stars, and Quinny, I always felt that he organised that really well. Great set of lads to play in it. So, yeah, it brings a few memories back for me. It's a cracking little club.
And, Chris, I was speaking to the people here, and they said that you tell a great story about Paul Gascoigne throwing soap at chickens.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's clean for the air.
Well, it is, really. The soap was clean through the air, I know that. But we were in Albania, and it wasn't a lot to do, no disrespect, but we're on 14th floor, 15th floor, very high up, and there's no phone, no tellies. Anyway, Gaza gets bored as he does. We opened the window, and the window sort of opened, it didn't open like a normal window, it sort of went up and you could push it out the way. Anyway, we looked outside the window, we're all really high up, and we saw a little chicken pen which looked miles away, and Gazza went, I could throw a, you know, the bars of soap you get free in the bathroom, them little bars, it was them. So he comes out and he went, I can throw one of them into the chicken pen. And I went, no chance, it's miles away. Anyway, he gets a run out the corridor, opens the bedroom, the door, comes running down up through opposite the door, runs into the room, and he pitches his soap. And to be fair, it landed on the chickens. It was a massive throw. I don't know how he did it. So anyway, I just started laughing. Bobby Robson was walking past at the time. And he went, what are you doing? And I went, well, it sounds stupid when you explain to the manager of England, like, Gazza can throw some soap into a chicken pen 250, 300 yards away. So he went, don't be stupid. So I went, well, go and get your soap and he'll do it. So Bobby went and got his soap, brought it back. He did it again. Bobby then went around every room, knocked every player up, and everybody was in our room, all with bars of soap, with my guys had to put in a chicken pen.
More stories like that, I'm sure, tonight. And great to hear from Chris Waddle and Keith Edwards. Fellas, really appreciate you joining us live on
Thank
BBC
you.
Radio Sheffield. Have a great evening
Cheers.
Tonight. Absolutely great to speak to the fellas, I'm sure you'll agree. And, they're at Hallam FC tonight doing a Q&A. I'm sure you can hear more stories like that here tonight. For that, if you want to get involved, 7:30, tickets, I think they're £10. and they are available now. We're going to hear from the Barnsley manager, Danny Wilson, next. Then after that, we're going to speak to one or two more of the guys here at Hallam FC. So we'll hear from Wilson. He's been giving us the latest on Sam Winnell's injury status. And are the scan results finally in?
No, we're still waiting for the report to come through. Obviously, a visit the specialist. But I would expect we will find something out today. I'm not really expecting good news, if I'm quite honest, because it's obviously going to be out for a little while. But we're just hoping it's not as long as some players can be. We're hoping the tear's not as bad as we think.
It will provide an opportunity for others. We saw Leroy Lee to play particularly well the other night.
Well, he did, yeah. He played very well. You know, although he's not had a goal to show, his contribution was fantastic, I have to say. Considering it's his first game for a while, you know, and so we're really pleased with his contribution in the game. But obviously with other players as well vying for that spot as well, you know, obviously Marcelo's in there and we've got Kane as well, you know. So with a bit of luck, you know, that competition can push one or two on and get back in the goal scoring charts.
Was it tough for Leroy when you've got two players like Devontae Cole and Sam Winnell who were playing so well? I think you said the other night he wasn't doing anything wrong in training. He was still putting the effort in there, but it's hard to force your way in when you've got a strike partnership that's working.
Well, it is, yeah. I mean, it was working. It was that understanding was getting there, you know, and that's one of the most important parts. Yeah, the goal's obviously the important part, but one of the factors are that, you know, the understanding that you get as a pairing, and they were getting that off to a tee to a certain degree. So again, you've got to not go back to square one, really, because I think that with Leroy playing in and training with the rest of the lads, it's still a bit an understanding is there. But you know, it needs games on the pitch more than anything. So hopefully, you know, if we feel that Leroy's the man, then hopefully that's enough to start to forge that relationship that Devante had with Sam.
I guess the gauntlet's thrown down, isn't it? Not just to him, but to the other strikers, to make up for the fact that you may well lose Sam Winnell for a few weeks now.
Well, yeah. Listen, we brought these players in, you know, not, and we didn't even know Sam was going to be would take to the goals we thought he would, you know. But obviously he did come to the party, you know, and he brought these goals with him. So you know, but you're not always sure of that. But we also brought all the rest of the boys in for the same reasons, you know, that we all felt they could score goals and we all felt they'd be a big asset to us as we're going along, because these situations will develop in seasons, as you well know. So now it's up to the boys to come to the plate. You know, the contribution's been great, the attitude and application's been excellent. Just watching Randy off now with the goals now.
Is there an update on Joe Dudgeon as well?
Joe's slightly better than he was. We won't make a decision on Joe or one or two others until Sunday morning. You know, we've got an extra day's grace to a certain degree, which has helped us in that respect. So we'll make an informed decision on Sunday.
It's Danny Wilson on BBC Radio Sheffield, and we'll have commentary of Barnsley against Chester on Sunday. Our programme starts at 2:45. It's a 2 o'clock kick-off between Barnsley and Chester. We're live at Hallam FC. Great to hear from Chris Waddle and Keith Edwards, who are doing a Q&A at 7:30. We're joined now by Steve Basford, who's the vice chairman here, and Jake Wright, who's just signed on loan from Sheffield United as well. Steve, first of all, great atmosphere here tonight. We've had some great feedback from here, from Chris and Keith on Twitter. It is going to be another enjoyable night here at the club, isn't it?
Yeah, so I'm sure it will be, Rob. The last time we had Chris up here, it was a massive success, and obviously we've added Keith to the night as well. So yeah, we're very excited, obviously, about having you guys here. And you know, if we can make it as good as it was last time, it'd be an absolutely brilliant night. Yeah.
Yeah, it's great to be here as well. Ryan gave us a bit of a tongue lashing at the start, saying you need to do more on the
yeah,
non-league. And
yeah,
do you know what? It's a point though, isn't it? Because we have got this great history and tradition here, right in the city of Sheffield,
absolutely,
right in the heart,
yeah,
of South Yorkshire.
Yeah.
And I feel like sometimes we take it for granted a little bit. I'm not just talking about us as the media, but also the wider world, English football in general, because they have a lot of appreciation abroad, not so much here.
No, and obviously we're constantly fighting in non-league football just to keep our heads above water. We try to produce exciting young players, hopefully that can move on to other clubs. And I think if you look at the likes of Stocksbridge, ourselves, Parkgate, Sheffield, we play a good level of football and we're starting to attract more people into the ground now.
We're also joined by Jake Wright. We were speaking earlier to Chris Waddle and to Ryan as well about the fact that this is an opportunity for young Sheffield United players and Sheffield Wednesday players as well to come and get experience, to learn a bit about life as well, because I remember being your age and you kind of like, you know, this kind of experience is useful, isn't it?
Yes.
You need to get this kind of thing. Do you think this will really benefit you this time here at Hallam?
Yeah, I find it really like beneficial in the fact that it's great to get out from the club and like just play first team football and getting the experience of a different style of football, more physical and progressing other parts of your game.
How encouraging is it to see a guy like Louis Reed, who was here last year, who came and had a bit of experience like this, learnt some life lessons too, and has played first team football at Bramall Lane? I mean, I know it's a long journey to get to that, not everybody's going to do what Louis's done, but that's the opportunity, isn't it?
Yeah, it's brilliant. Louis is a good friend of mine, and as you can see, his experience coming here has obviously done him massive favours, and he's doing really well now.
Did he speak to you when you made this move and sort of say, look, this is what it's going to be like and this is what it can do for you?
Yeah, he did. He was just saying like how good it was to play for Hallam and like the reputation they've got and where it's put him now. He's really thankful for what they've done.
Now, I was speaking to Nick Cox earlier and he was telling me about sort of why the club is working with Hallam and what they get out of it and how it is integral, really, because development football is useful, but this is useful too, isn't it? Because it's real football.
Yeah, it's like I said, it's a different game from under 18s, 21s and then to first team. The step is massive, and it's a massive physical step also, as in learning how to use your weight and just basically learning a different game.
Nick was saying socially as well, it's a good learning curve, because you're going to be in a dressing room with some characters, aren't you?
Yeah.
Who are going to take the mickey a little bit and they're going to have a bit of fun. And that's important, because you're going to get that in a pro dressing room as well, aren't you?
Yeah. It's great to like meet new lads and just get out there and get your name spread about. So yeah, it's really good, kind of top group of lads around here.
Steve, do you think it is real character building as well, that the club gets benefit from having talented young players here? The young players get just as much out of it, don't they?
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely, Rob. I mean, if you'd have seen this young man on Tuesday night, we took him away to Tebasol, and he's playing at North East Counties level from academy football. You would not have known in the slightest. He put himself around, he scored two great goals, he fitted into the team brilliantly. He's got an excellent future in front of him, I'm sure, and if we can be part of that, then, you know, like you said, with Lewis, we had Ben Whiteman here, JD, Jason Palin as well last year. These guys really hopefully benefit, and we create the right environment for them. We put them in the right situations where they're happy, and one of the main things is that we're in a very competitive situation at the moment. We're at the wrong end of the table. We need performances straight away. We can't wait for Jake to sort of, you know, work his way into it. We need points desperately, and if you'd have seen the young man playing on Tuesday night, you would have seen absolutely what he was about. He realised that and he got into it. Fortunately, we've got one of the best young managers around, we feel, at the moment, with Ryan. He's got the right people around him, and hopefully we can, you know, benefit in his future, you know, working with the guys like Nick and obviously Stevie Haslam at Sheffield Wednesday as well. We're all about it.
I love the fact that the Sheffield clubs want to get involved and they
absolutely
see the use here.
Yeah, and I think it's important that we, you know, like I said, I'll say it again, we create the right environment. They'll learn, they'll gain experience, we look after the guys, and they're happy, you know, then they're enjoying the football. They're not in a situation, you know, they're going to be under pressure week in, week out. We can help them along, we can give them a rest. But I tell you what, Jake will be playing for us tomorrow, and if he does what he did for us on Tuesday, we'll be more than happy.
Jake, I look forward to seeing you playing for Sheffield United's first team next season now, and following in the footsteps of your good friend Lewis Reed. Great, and thanks for coming on tonight as well. And Steve, thank you for having us tonight. It's great to get out and about. It's great to be here. You've been very welcoming
great,
to us.
Yeah.
And you know what? It looks like it's going to be a great night. So thank you so much.
Well, thank you. Thank you, Rob, as well. And, you know, long may it continue. Thank you very much, mate. Cheers.
That's Steve Basford. He's the vice chairman here at Hallam FC, and Jake Wright, who's on loan from Sheffield United. So that's as far as we go tonight on BBC Radio Sheffield. Hope you you've enjoyed the show. Hope you enjoyed hearing from Keith Edwards and from Chris Waddle. Tomorrow we're back, as usual, from 2 o'clock. We've got commentary on FM of Blackburn against Sheffield Wednesday, and on AM and digital radio, it is going to be Cardiff against Rotherham United, both games in the Championship as well. We'll be keeping a close eye on all the FA Cup games, and don't forget Praise or Grumble taking your calls until 6:30. Have a great weekend. The news is next, and then it's Mark Forrest.
Loving South Yorkshire and North Derbyshire. BBC Radio Sheffield.